The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the app and sign up with code WMVP for participating offers. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Use promo code WMVP today.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Snap to Cutler, looking right, throwing to the end zone, Bringles the touchdown, Bears!
That's a matchup that Jay Cutler must take advantage of. Nice throw by Jay. Nice concentration and catch by Olsen.
Third down and 13, far the throw. Hit down as they knocks it out. It's loose at the 40. Bears have it. Bears have taken the ball away from Brett Favre and the Vikings. Tommy Harris recovers, and the Bears have taken one away.
Takes the snap, going to throw. Has time. Winds up. Deep.
Going for a roll. Shadell! Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! They win it! Overtime throw!
Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up with Allen Robinson. He's got it. He's got the ball at the 43-yard line. Flag is down. It's going to be on Green Bay. I think that'll be a fade-to-black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air and plucking it away from any Packer within his vicinity. They huddle up. Listen to this crowd. Trubisky takes the snap, takes a knee. They head to the field. The Bears have won it. 24-17 over the Green Bay Packers.
Devin Hester off to our left. Adam Vinatieri has it on the tee. The Colts in all white. The Bears, navy blue and white. You know, white numerals are about ready to go.
By the people in the stands, they don't need seats today because they're all standing.
Vinatieri on the approach platform. Popping here in Miami. He sails to the far side around the 8-yard line to Hester. Under it. And to the middle with the 15 to the 20. Breaks free of the 25 to the 30. To the outside. 40. Midfield. 40. 30 to the Colts. 20. 15. Hester 5. Oh! Ridiculous.
Oh, all the great moments from Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer, the highlights courtesy of WBBM. Now a new chapter and new highlights, and a championship could be on the horizon, hopefully, now that ESPN 1000 has taken over.
It's the special sauce that you and I add to the recipe, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
To the mix?
You know that.
Right?
We've celebrated so many championships.
So many championships since you and I have been doing this.
Too many to count.
Yes.
Too many to count. But one can be hopeful. And, yes, we are the brand new home of the Chicago Bears, but it is the same great booth. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer will continue to bring you Bears football. Right here on ESPN 1000, Jeff Joniak now, for the first time on the Waddle and Sylvie Show, joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Jeff, it is a pleasure, and welcome to ESPN 1000.
Thank you very much. You guys gave me goosebumps right there. I mean, aroma should do. Pulling one out. You know, you don't often listen to yourself. But the Hester Super Bowl return, I was just talking about that with somebody today. That is something I cherish. Never happened before or since to start a game, and I never thought that one was going to happen. But another aside on aroma should do. You remember the movie Nebraska?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So somebody said, hey, you know, congratulations on your cameo. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I watched the whole movie, and sure enough, there's a clip. Bunch of old men watching a TV.
Right.
But it's our call. You don't see the TV, and it's a Cutler to Aroma Should Do, and then Tom's doing a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse commercial, and it's in the movie. So that year, it's in New York for the Super Bowl, and what's the guy's name? He was up for an Academy Award for the movie. Anyway, I get a message from, hey, would you like to interview him? And I said, no, I'd like to know where my royalties are for the, because we didn't even get a name on the movie. Nothing.
There was no credit? You got no credit?
Nothing. Zero.
And look, the Bob Odenkirk's in that movie.
It should come with a residual.
Yeah, Will Forte, Bruce Dern.
Yeah, Bruce Dern. Hey, interview Bruce Dern. Yeah, that went by the wayside. But,
Well, it's great to have you as a teammate, Jeff. This is something that's going to be really cool. And I think that there's renewed optimism. Do you share it as we do?
My. Absolutely. I've not felt this in any offseason in my career. And that's covering the Bears for 30 years and 26 in this booth, both as a pre and post and then the play-by-play guy. And it's the fans. It's the juice. It's the energy. It's very palpable. Being in Indianapolis at the Combine, ton of Bears fans there looking for autographs or whatnot from the college kids. And all they want to do is talk. They want to talk about what's next. And, you got to tamp enthusiasm down a little bit because this is going to be a process and it's not going to happen in one off season. But they've done a nice job out of the gate, in my opinion. And, yes, I care more about the draft than I do free agency. That's always been my thing. It's not everybody's flavor, obviously. People want to play fantasy football and take everybody, spend the money, and see how it works. But I've always used this term, fellas, that I hate to be a lion in the spring and a lamb in the fall. I want it just the opposite and build this the right way, and I think Ryan Poles is doing just that.
So out of all your years, Jeff, you're telling me, even 18 was spectacular, then going into Bears 100. We were hopeful for the Super Bowl, coming off of 2006 and that Super Bowl loss, coming off of the Bears-Packers. You have more optimism in this offseason than any of the others that you've done.
Because they're going to do it the right way. And I'm tired of the roller coaster. I want to see sustained success, be a playoff contender every year, get to that Super Bowl eventually. But don't just throw good money after bad. Don't just reach for guys. Go about the way of value. And this is what you decided you wanted to do, Ryan Poles, and this is what he's going to deliver. I really believe he's going to stick to his plan. And however long that might take in terms of developing these young players and a coach that is not afraid to play young players by any means. He put teeth into it last year with more snaps for rookies than any team in the league by about 1,000 snaps. So I'm excited about that, growing this thing the right way.
Jeff, I'm very interested in getting your take on the job that Ryan Poles has done so far. Obviously, trading the first pick to the Carolina Panthers. And also, I think that there is there's a sense of openness and his willingness to talk and transparency that seems to be kind of a change of pace, especially for NFL front office guys.
Yeah, he's mentioned that many times from the time he got here. He is transparent. I mean, that's the way he is. He may not be somebody who is an explosive personality with their machinations and the energy and the juice. He is calm, cool, and collected, and a superior competitor. And, don't fall asleep on his calm demeanor, because inside it is moving inside there. There's no question about it. I like the fact that he got out there during the combine. They had the number one pick, for crying out loud. It's an overused term at this point now, but being the center of the football universe this offseason has certainly been the case for the Bears. Even though they moved down to 9, people are talking. It's not just about now. It's about the future as well.
All right, Joniak joining us right now. Let's pause for a minute, though, as we get traffic and weather on the 8th.
Oh.
No. Okay. I'm trying to keep you comfortable. Home, yeah.
Wait, I thought we were breaking news or something here. What are you doing?
I'm trying to make you feel at home. You were so structured for all these years.
I was,
years,
man. It was a great run, but time to move on, and I'm excited about this.
Joniak, we were talking earlier about polls and you love how he's doing it the right way and everything like that. We were talking about how transparent he is and whether it's the interview that you guys did on Bears Weekly last week. I was driving home listening to his interview, or in Football Morning in America. And in the last 3 weeks, he's been featured by Peter King. And again, today he was talking about, hey, he could have had the trade, a historic trade, maybe trading down from 1 to 2 and then going from 2 to 9. And we had a discussion, is transparency, is it maybe too transparent? And do the Texans... Yeah, I know, you laugh. Go ahead, what are you thinking, first of all, then I'll follow up. Go ahead.
No, that's funny because, you know, everybody wants GMs to share all the information. And now there's a hint of too much transparency. No, I think you got to be who you are. And he is a young general manager who will make mistakes along the way in his career. That's the idea of bringing somebody into a first-time position. There's going to be mistakes along the way. You just hope they're not monumental mistakes. And he's confident in himself. I mean, I've texted him time or two, hey, just be real to yourself and trust your instincts. That's usually the answer for football guys. Trust your instincts. And I like it. I don't mind it at all. He's not giving away the company secrets at all, but maybe you're referring to the idea that he shouldn't have said as much to possibly get a better deal. Is that what you're referring to?
No, it's our discussion, and I don't believe this. Meller brought this up, that he's worried a bit about the Texans may not want it out there, that there was almost a deal with them. And maybe other teams don't want the kissing and telling, quote, so to speak, on their business out there.
Guess what? That's their business then. You know, that's what I say about it. Hey, Bears got to worry about the Bears. You know what I mean? Don't you think?
Well, that's how I feel like. What was brought up was, would other teams then, hey, boy, do we want to pick up Poles' call? Because that could end up in Football Morning America. I think all teams are going to worry about
improving themselves,
and they're not going to shy away from doing business with the Bears because where they could end up, they want to help themselves. And if the Bears are the best way to help themselves, they're going to pick up the phone with Ryan Poles.
Absolutely, and he's interested in those things. He's interested in that phone ringing. Likes to have everything on the table to see what's available, and that's the way you got to go about it. You know, they have the 9th pick now. That's not going to prevent them from possibly moving down. Or heck, you know, they can move up too. I'm not putting anything past this general manager right now.
Jeff, as you said, you've been covering this team for better than two decades. What are your impressions of Kevin Warren being hired to run things up at Hollis Hall?
Man, he owns the room when he walks in. I had the opportunity to interview him before his press conference, and I was just blown away. It's supposed to be a 10-minute interview. It was 28 minutes. I mean, you just can't stop talking to the guy. He's another one. He's very transparent about what he wants to do, how he wants to handle it, what his expectations are. And that goes from just the simple to the complex, and that's obviously the Arlington track of land that they hope to develop. All this is coming together at once, not just, you know, our relationship here with ESPN, bringing the games to AM 1000, but a new president, a change in direction and thought, a young general manager who has assets galore right now to try to make something happen, big decisions to be made moving forward. I just think it's an exciting time, and Kevin Warren is a big part of that. Now, he doesn't really step into the saddle, so to speak, until next month, and that's where we'll see more of what his plan is. But he wants to hear from everybody. It doesn't matter who you are in the building. He wants to know what you need. It's the first thing. What do you need? And it's a whole different approach, obviously, than what we've experienced over the years. It's a brand new style of leadership, and it'll be interesting to see how that translates to business success, but also on field success.
How do you answer that question? What do you need?
Hey, listen, he hasn't asked me that yet. But you know, I'll have to think about it. That's for sure. What should I ask? What should I ask for in terms of what I need?
Yeah, you shoot right. You shoot high, right?
Yeah, right.
You shoot for the moon and land amongst the stars.
What do you want? Yeah. I mean, let's start with what do you want, Jeff?
That's what you deal with. Hey, at least that's how you deal
with
it. I
want a championship. I want to call winning Super Bowl. That's what I want to do.
Okay, yes, that's fair. Hey, on that note, your front row seats for every game, what type of improvement did you see from the young quarterback as the season rolled on?
You know, one of the things off the field is just how he handled himself at the podium each week. I thought early in the year it was a little less than thrilling to want to reveal his answers to questions from the media, and maybe it tied into the way the team was playing or how he was playing. But once that dynamic rushing ability and jump out of your seats kind of play started with him. I thought he felt more in command, more in control, therefore felt more like it's his team. You know, nowadays, and Sylvie, when we were covering the team together and doing all those things, they didn't have the ability. These players watch these news conferences, believe it or not. They read Twitter. They hear what their leaders on the team or the coaches or general manager is saying. And if they tell you they don't, that it's not accurate. They do. And so I always look at the podium as a big speaker to the locker room, whether it comes from Eberflus or Poles or your quarterback. And in that position, you're the CEO of the football team on game day. So I want him to be in charge at the podium as much as what he is on the field. So all the tools are there. Obviously, we know what some of the shortcomings are at the moment, the things that have to improve from the pocket, triggering from the pocket. He doesn't want to run as much as he did. No way about it. Nobody does. But he is great at it. And the short passing game, the little dump-off passes, that can increase in terms of pass completion percentage. That's what I'm looking forward to, because those are supposed to be the layup throws. Get it to your backs, get it to your tight end, quick screens, whatever the case may be. And I think DJ Moore will help. That intermediate area of 10 to 19 yards was a really outstanding area for DJ Moore to make something to happen throughout his career and then after the catch. And Justin, in that area, is also a fairly high accuracy percentage there. So keep building on that and open everything else up for the offense.
Are you ready to call Bears-Packers games without Favre or Rodgers being the opposing quarterback?
You know, I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
He is, you know, everything about him annoys me in terms of his demeanor and personality.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the greatness of what he is. And you know, Tom, you don't always get to call a lot of great players in a given week in the season. And the Hall of Fame players, and Danny Zetterman asked me this in a meeting a few weeks ago, how many Hall of Famers you think you've already called or are going to be Hall of Famers? And, you know, I went back and I kind of penciled out, you know, it's over 100 in the time, you know, that you are anticipating going to the Hall of Fame or already in the Hall of Fame. So that's not a lot. Like, you want to call the biggest games are with the best players, and it gets your engines revved up and jazzed up about it. So, but, you know, let's not jump to conclusions that if and when he goes, that Jordan Love is going to be a pushover and an easy lay. You know, no, I'm not banking on anything anymore at the quarterback position when it involves the Green Bay Packers.
Voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Give me a couple guys of all your years doing the Bears, who has been your favorite players to deal with?
Almost all of them, honestly. I've just made a point to make sure I go in that locker room every week and develop relationships with no microphone in anybody's face all the time. So that's always important for me. I think that's a big part of our job, context and storytelling. But, you know, guys that come to mind, you know, Mike Brown was and always will be one of my favorites, because he would have played with nobody in the stadium. The passion with which he brought to the table. And there's a story I'll tell you about quickly. Back in the day, I used to go up there, and George Payton worked in the building, and Rick Spielman, and I got to watch all these tapes of these players, and I'd painstakingly do it during the draft. And the year that Brownie was in the draft, it was all about, we got to get a safety. And I'm a huge fan of safeties. I think you need to have one to win a Super Bowl, or at least to be a contender and really solidify the middle of the field and be a bit of a nasty presence back there. And I kept watching this Rodgers Beckett, I believe, from San Diego State. And George would kept sliding me this tape, and it was Mike Brown. I thought, you know, gosh, he doesn't seem to move that well. And sure enough, they draft him, and he was all about angles and mental speed. And first day of minicamp, he is yelling at guys, getting everybody lined up at veteran minicamp. And I thought, wow, don't make me a scout, that's for sure. Because Rodgers Beckett had a very short cup of coffee in the NFL, as far as I remember. But, yeah, Mike Brown, Urlacher, Briggs, all of them. Peanut, Olin, you name it, I loved them all.
Sylvie's more interested in who the jerks were.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah, you are. That's you more interested.
I think we know really? The jerks. Cade McNown.
Wait, I got to remember. There was, okay, so back in the day, injured players, I think at WGN, they started this, and we kind of continued it in the early days when we had a trailer outside Gate O. The injured players, guys on injured reserve, would be walked out outside the stadium through the crowd, and they would appear on stage for $50. $50 a man, and you'd get injured players, and I cannot remember. He has since passed away. I have to go back into my archives, remember who it was, but I remember walking in Monday morning after said player was doing the interview at Gate O, and he was asking for his money, and he was not happy. He wanted to be paid right then and there.
I said, "Listen,
we're a corporation. We got to go through things, you know, payroll. It's going to take a minute. You know, you'll get your money." But he wanted the $50, and he tried to embarrass me in the Bears locker room by making it loud and a little uncomfortable.
Been there, done that.
I got to remember the player though. I can't remember now.
I was telling the story.
He was a defensive lineman. I know that.
Okay. All right. Not Brian Robinson, was it?
No.
Wait. Do I have this story correctly, Jeff? I told this.
Don't make me nervous.
No. With Boyle. This is about you. And I think you get embarrassed of stories about you.
Yes.
But I think you and I were sitting together in the dorm rooms in Platteville. And it was before your first game as play-by-play voice. And do I have it right that your first preseason game was Bears and Bengals?
Correct.
It is right.
Yes.
And the player that do you remember the rehearsed name that you and I was quizzing you on all the Bengals roster?
I do not remember.
There was a young up and coming name, and I was quizzing you on the roster like a kid with flashcards on a math test. It was bunk beds, and I'm quizzing you, and there was a complicated name on the Bengals roster.
Was it TJ Houshmandzadeh?
Yes.
Okay, but I don't remember that happening.
Oh, of course you don't.
Thanks for helping me out.
Rent me out of your life. Now I am back, and you can't get rid of me.
You've been the enemy for so many years.
You're going to be like a bad penny, buddy. Going to keep showing up now. What'd you say, Waddle?
I said he's been on the other team for so long, Sylvie has, that you've forgotten him. You don't even know who he is.
And listen, I'm old now, so you're still a young whippersnapper, so you remember every detail. I want to hear all the stories because we had some funny ones over the years. Sure.
Hey, I had a conversation with Tom Thayer on another note yesterday, and it just reminded me how long together you guys have been together and just how special a relationship you guys have developed and the football knowledge that Tom has and brings to the broadcast every Sunday.
Man, I tell you, I always say it was him welcoming me into the tape sessions at Hallis Hall. I mean, I used to get there first thing Monday morning when I was just doing pre- and post-game, and I'd sit there in Clyde Emmerich's back room at Hallis Hall on a dirty old couch and sit there and watch VHS tapes of what was going on. And I learned the game in a way that I never thought I would. Everything from the subtle footwork and hand placement to absolutely understand what it all means, having never played. So I give him a great deal of credit for kind of fanning the flames for my love of this game. I love football. I love the NFL. I love the Bears. And it's just continued. I felt like I went to graduate school about 100 times with Tom. So, you know, guys got to be willing to do that, though. You know, you mentioned Brian Robinson. Out of nowhere, this just popped into my head because I remember he was always helping tutor the young guys because they wouldn't do it in St. Louis and other stops he was at, and he always remembered that. But you got to have teammates that are willing to take you under their wing a little bit and show you the way if you're willing. And I was willing, and I still am. I still learn something new every day from football, and I would do it sitting with you, Tommy or Yurko, in the same fashion. So it's going to be fun to be at an all-sports station in this role. And I'm going to learn a heck of a lot, that's for sure.
You're going to love being here, and we love having you, and we can't wait till you're calling Bears football games on ESPN 1000. Thanks for joining us. We're going to bug the hell out of you, so get ready for that. And you're the best at what you do, so we cannot wait. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, buddy.
6 o'clock. We got our show tonight, guys. 6 o'clock. We're going to be T.J. Edwards coming up. The Bears linebacker, the new addition, the born and bred Chicago Bears fan, now player. He'll be joining us at about 6:10, Jim Miller and I, on Bears Weekly tonight.
Awesome.
That's great. Bears Weekly, 6 to 7. Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Jeff.
K
Can't wait. So Bears Weekly, 6 to 7 right here on ESPN 1000. It's great to talk to Joni. I can't wait to talk to Thayer. There's going to be other surprises along the way as we are now.
Teammates.
Another benefit of being the home of the Bears.
Yes, this is cool.
All right, so there's some Bulls news that is coming in. Bulls play tonight against the 76ers. And Lonzo Ball is going to attempt to do something that no NBA player has ever done before. Details on that coming up.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Bear on a switch. There's the double under Rosen. DeMar drives, scores, puts it in on the ball. Oh, it's going to Levi Reed.
Oh, my God. 4-2.
Here's Levine. To the rim, and he ties the game. Comes Zach Levine on the attack.
One-legged jumper.
Off the screen. Bounce up.
Who's got numbers?
5-on-4. Vucevic inside. Yes!
There you go.
90 seconds remain. Bulls by 2. DeRozan over Anderson.
Oh, Mr. Anderson.
Vucevic. Takes it. Cross court, White to DeRozan. Extra feed to Levine. A big three. DeRozan back. Now they get it to Vooch this time. Early, deep.
Oh, it's a simple game.
There he is. Kick to White. Got it back from Beverly for three. DeRozan pops another three.
They're playing with a sense of urgency now. For no steal.
There it is.
See, that's how you rotate. The rotations are there.
Kobe White.
That was highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. A surprising Bulls weekend. Maybe their best weekend of the year. You go out and you beat Minnesota in double overtime.
Look out.
And then the very next night after that exhausting double overtime game where DeMar and Zach both went out and scored a lot, played a lot, I thought for sure Miami would come out and whip their ass the very next night. And I looked at the score and they're up 70-45 at the half.
Coughed up a big lead, but then they were able to finish the job.
In true Bulls fashion, they made it a game in the fourth quarter.
Well, what they've done more times than not is give up the big leads and lose.
Yes.
But this time they found a way to put the heat away.
What was it, like a 3 or 4 point game at one point in the fourth quarter? Then they extended it, and they ended up winning.
You put some respect on that Bulls team name.
Yes. Billy Donovan just spoke. Billy Donovan just spoke, and more on Lonzo. If you missed the news last week, this is while you were gone, Waddle, that Lonzo Ball, the time limit. Remember, I was laughing like when at first they were putting a for this third surgery, they were putting an expectation of a 6-month rehab. And I'm like, how could anyone put a timetable on a 6-month, I think Woj originally put that out. I'm like, there's been no timetable that's been accurate. So no. How could you ever? And then sure enough, a week later, the new estimate was he's going to miss all of next year. They're already estimating that all of next year is going to get wiped out. And now Billy Donovan basically said they're approaching this as he's out indefinitely and they're planning on playing all of next year without him. And this is what I was
telling
you. This
is from Joe Cowley.
Yeah,
said, this is about an hour ago. Joe Cowley tweeted, Bulls hoping Lonzo will be the first NBA player to come back from this type of surgery. Donovan called it an uphill battle. Lonzo Ball had surgery, according to Billy, earlier.
So this is a
surgery that would be the first NBA player ever to come back from this type of surgery.
Which is what? What is it? It's a ligament. Is it a ligament replacement?
I thought it was cartilage replacement.
Cartilage replacement.
But I'm not a doctor. But when they say there's been no NBA player that's ever had this surgery and come back, that leaves you a bit, you know,
like how many have even been done? So this is.
I think if you are counting on Lonzo Ball, and this is sad to say because, you know, I mean, the time he was here in health, he was fun as hell. Like early on.
A few months.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, he did some really good things, and Then Will Perdue said, listen, if you say his name anymore, you keep relying on him, we're going to need to punch him. I don't want to get punched, so I kind of just forgot about him.
He's got big hands.
I know. So, like, if you're relying on Lonzo Ball to be back next season, I think that you're being way too optimistic.
Well, again, now you may have to approach it where you may have to get the injury settlement.
Well, that's what I mean. I wonder how difficult the decision this is going to be for them is, can't you petition the league?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you run insurance. Yeah. We got
it's not about getting your money back, because no one's passing the hat for the Rhinestones. So it's about getting some cap relief.
Yeah,
right?
Tyler, can you text Bobby Marks tonight and ask him the question? Do you have Bobby Marks' number?
I can find it, yeah.
Yeah, about what that would look like if there is an option where the Bulls can save cap room on Lonzo. If this, in fact, is... He signed a four-year deal. Next year is going to be year three. And if he's going to at least be out next year, and then no other players ever come back from this, I don't know how many people have had even this surgery, but if there's not a lot of hope that he could even come back from it, and then if he does come back, what kind of player is he even going to be? Aren't they better off just saying, like, even if they rehab him and use him and take care of him, fine, but I don't think it's callous at this point as a basketball team to just move on from him.
And by the way, no disrespect to Lonzo, but maybe they're better off. No, I'm not going to say
that. What were you going to
do? I'm going to say with Pat Bev, the Pat Bev effect. You and I maybe have underappreciated it.
I don't think anyone really has underappreciated him.
It is what it is. What, 7-4 since Pat Bev has been part of
this all year? They win four, then they'll lose three.
Okay, make a play right now.
They're going to finish at 4 under .500.
Okay, which is where they are right now. They've got, obviously... They've got the Sixers in Philly tonight.
Yeah.
They're off tomorrow. They've got the Sixers at the UC on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Are we talking about a Bulls team Thursday morning, because we'll be from 7 to 10, that is,
once again,
they're going to be six games under .500, or will they be two games under .500, or will they be four games under .500 right where they are now?
I think they find a way to win one, just enough to frustrate us.
So they're going to do something they haven't been able to do ever before.
They're
going
to be
and that's beat the Sixers with Embiid.
I think they're going to be in this play-in. If they get in, I don't think they'll get in.
They're a game and a half ahead of the Pacers
and Washington
and the Wizards.
Yeah,
and they're a game and a half out of the 8 seed right now. They're the 10 seed. They're a game and a half out of the 8 seed. They're a game and a half ahead of the Pacers and the Wizards.
They've never beaten Embiid. Embiid's playing tonight.
But you think they're going to win one of these two? Tonight and Wednesday, they play the Sixers.
Yes.
Really?
Am I nuts to think that?
I don't think you're nuts, but...
They're unpredictable. Just when you think they're going to be trash, they'll win a couple to reel you back in. Just when you think they're ready to go back on a run, they'll lose to Indiana, and they'll lose a couple of other Oklahoma City teams like that.
I would argue that makes them predictable. Not unpredictable. They're predictable. But at some point...
Predictably unpredictable? Is that...
Well, like, listen, they've been seven under...
Well, what is your prediction? What are they going to do? Win the next two? Lose the next two?
Listen, my money, they're an 8.5-point underdog in Philly tonight. They're going to be an underdog at home, barring something strange happening tonight on Wednesday. My money would be on the Sixers in both nights.
What about the Bulls and the points tonight?
I took the Bulls plus 10.5.
I jacked it up too.
I got the Bulls plus 10.5, DeMar over 20.5, Zach hitting three threes, and Embiid scoring more than 30.5.
So we're similar. So yeah. I played a same game parlay too. I got Bulls, I bumped it up to over 10.5. Bulls to cover the 10.5. Embiid over 30.5.
Yeah, that's me.
LaVine over 24.5. And DeMar DeRozan over 20.5.
I went with Zach with the three threes instead of the point total.
He's scoring.
Yeah, he is. I don't know why I did it. I kind of impulsively hit three threes. I also put Kobe White in for two threes or more, and then erased it.
He
probably shouldn't do that.
He again is unpredictable.
Yes.
there's a lot of people who like how Kobe has progressed.
I think Kobe. I think Kobe White has been a contributor this year.
I know a lot of people. Bleck is on board with that. I've seen Goff say that. I don't need him on my basketball team. There's nothing to me.
Do you need Io on your basketball team?
He's okay. I like Io.
I know you like him, but like Kobe White has been more a larger contributor on this team this year.
He's a little more well-rounded. They're about the same. But again, like Kobe White was a lottery player.
Oh, yes.
You know, Io was a second-round pick. Maybe that's where my whole thing comes in, is the expectation factor. It's kind of like why I'm hard on Vooch, is you gave up two lottery picks and a player for Vooch. You know, maybe I would think differently if you got Vooch for, you know, a late first rounder. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kobe White was the 7th overall pick.
So you expect more.
Io was the 38th overall pick.
Okay, but at the end of the day, regardless of where they were drafted, you have to make a decision on who you're going to move forward with and who can be a contributing member of your team.
Io.
Because of where he was picked?
No, I just think there's more room to grow. I think there's more room. I still, like, for a guy who's supposed to be able to shoot in Kobe, I still think he's too. What's his 3-point
percentage?
It's
not as good as you would think,
like,
it
probably
is.
Probably 34%. Like, that was supposed to be Kobe's thing. Kobe was supposed to be a guy who could shoot.
36.5%. Yeah,
still not good enough.
No, it's not. It's not. And that's where you would think that the contribution would be, but. Yeah, I mean, look, you're not getting anything for those are guys that should be hitting threes, who are coming off the bench and hitting threes at a 39 or 40 or 41, 42% clip.
Yeah.
You're there to be sharpshooters. You're not going to play a ton of minutes. Play some defense, hit a couple threes, and grab some bench.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. So Bears Weekly with Joniak and Jim Miller coming up here at 6 o'clock. You missed something last week, and this is perfect to play again in case any of our fans missed this. There is a brand new Philly special, and this one is not what you think. And with the Bulls playing Philly, we're going to play you this brand new Philly special, and it's coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
This was fantastic. Carmen and I played this when we did the combo show. By the way, Carmen and I are on together again tomorrow, 2
Saving
to 6.
Saving the music.
Yeah, spring trading. So spring trading is tomorrow. Who did I see? It's is it Cap and I think it's Abdallah.
Yep, yeah, Cap and Abdallah.
That surprised me. So that's allowed, huh? That show was allowed.
Cody and I are doing noon to 2.
I didn't know, like, I know there are a few shows that are not allowed these days. And there are a few shows that are allowed. The Abdallah Cap show is allowed. So that was allowed. And
you've been banned from pairing Waddle and Yurko. Obvious reasons.
Trouble happens, man.
Did you do one with Yurko?
I haven't done a show with Yurko in forever.
It's banned. Not allowed. Too much friction.
Yeah.
I haven't done a show with Yurko this time around either. I've done a hoodie.
Also banned.
And black. Black. And Chris Black.
So it'll be me in hoodie tomorrow, noon to 2.
So yeah, you and hoodie tomorrow.
I think it'll be the first time maybe once before. I don't think Cody and I have worked together. Hopefully there's a lot of Rockford Files audio that we'll play.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
He always cites that whenever the Rockford Files play. Yeah. They even open, I think, with Rockford Files, and he always talks about it with you.
And then Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be on from 7 to 10.
Yeah, so then we're filling in for Cap and Hoodie Wednesday and Thursday.
Correct.
So
get your sleep.
It's a topsy-turvy week.
Hard to know what your schedule is.
Yeah, it's been weird. So then, yes, Carmen and I then 2 to 6. So Carmen and I did the combo show from noon to 3, and we played this later in the show. Carmen pulled this. This is from a Philly television station when, what is this? Is it the weather person?
ABC 6 affiliates.
And it's a weather person sending it to the traffic person?
Bingo. It's their morning show. Yes. They're doing traffic and weather. And the weather lady.
And this is during St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
So they're talking about drinking and partying and everything like this. So take a listen to this.
Wednesday, mild, some sunshine, 60. Thursday, partly sunny skies, and 57. And to another woman who likes to be double-fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
She means beer. She means beer. Guys, she means beer. Don't put me on YouTube. My God. We're going to take a pause. We're going to keep going. We're on Reading right now, guys. We're watching Route 202.
How about that? How great was that? The Philly special right there.
Wow. I bet that there was some friction between the two of them afterwards.
And to another woman who likes to be double-fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
She means beer. She means beer. Guys, she means beer. Don't put me on YouTube.
That boy, that is just doing your television partner wrong right there.
But how she even said she likes being double-fisted in a different way.
And to another woman who likes to be double-fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
So you think her intention was filthy to begin with?
I don't know.
How many ways are there?
It's just like a beer in one hand and a beer in the other. That's all I know, Jeff.
Isn't that double fisting?
You know what? I'm double fisted right now. I got one in one hand and one in the other.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. How was, like, that's just the audio. How was the video? Was there video attached to it?
Hope not.
Well,
there is video.
It's blurred out.
No blurs.
What I'm saying is I'd like to see her reaction.
Oh, you mean of them talking.
Yes. Get your head out of the gutter.
It's on your text chain, Waddle. You can watch it. Yeah. Boyle sent it along on Friday.
Was this a PB find?
It was a PB find.
PB's been sending some good stuff lately, too. Did you see there was the Ring doorbell thing of the wheelchair person who forgot
that's
the
not
person?
Really real. Is that fake?
Someone had a grandma in a wheelchair, and then the guy put her out on the driveway, and then he leaves for a second, and then she rolls down the driveway, and then he runs.
And she's screaming.
Yes. Yeah. So you think that's fake? That's probably like a young guy in a wig, and it was all set up like a Jackass routine.
Yeah, something would lead me to believe that if you've got a wheelchair.
That's for clicks?
Yeah, yeah. I don't trust anything these days. I really don't.
And then what did Carmen send this weekend? Carmen sent something.
Oh, that's funny where the guy dances. He's celebrating something.
Like
he runs into a window.
Yeah, like a bird. Yeah. He wanted to run out the door. He thought like a door was open, and he was going to go run and jump into the pool.
Yes.
But instead, there was a door, a whole window
glass
of
window.
Walls, and he ran right into the window.
It was really funny. He looked like he was out of it. And then somehow at the end of it, it was tagged with a guy who's driving his golf cart down a hill and went into the weeds. So
for some more context for the Philly special, so the weather lady actually had two remotes in her hand because the clickers that she uses for the weather, the actual map, so that's why she was referencing.
And to another woman who likes to be double-fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
So she was referring to herself as well. She was double-fisting the remotes, and then she was referring to double-fisting the beers.
Yeah. Such an innocent thing for her.
She means beer. She means beer. Guys.
Because it was St. Paddy's Day.
Yes.
It's still a great drop.
Don't put me on YouTube.
You've been put all over.
Oh, yeah. As soon as she said that, you know that she was going to be, going to be amplified.
For the traffic woman, I think her name is Jessica Bennington.
Excuse me?
I think it's Jessica Bennington. She got done dirty there. That should have been our good, bad, dirty. Because she was just getting the throw, yes. And then all of a sudden...
Yeah, we toss it over to Jennifer herself. for a look at the traffic situation.
And to another woman who likes to be double-fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
I was giving you the times of your commute. What are you doing to me?
Next thing you're portraying me as this...
I mean, Tracy Butler would never throw it to Roz like that.
Never.
I don't think so.
No.
I think if you showed Tracy that clip, she'd be mortified.
Oh, mortified.
Mortified. All right. Shucks, darn it.
All right, so we've got Bears Weekly coming up next with Joniak and Jim Miller. It's going to be awesome again. I listened to the first edition on ESPN 1000 last week. And TJ Edwards, who's a hometown kid, he grew up idolizing Lance Briggs. And waiting in line for an autograph for Brian Urlacher. He's going to be a guest, and Nate Davis will be on. Going to be great stuff. That's coming up in about 5 minutes from right now. Thank you to Jeff Joniak today. Outstanding stuff. Then Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 7 to 8. Thank you to Jeff Meller and also Tyler Aki. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.